Amen. Would you reach across the aisles this morning and take somebody's hands all the way across the sanctuary this morning? What a wonderful crowd this morning. And thank you for your wonderful worship and praise this morning as we come to this time. In just a few moments, after we pray and you are seated, I want you to watch a 3-minute video clip of some of our kids here at New Hope Baptist Church, some of our children. They're going to give you the meaning of what they think Easter is all about. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this Easter Sunday morning. God, we realize this morning the impact of the resurrection. And as we pause this morning in praise and adoration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning, we serve a risen Savior. And Father, that's the living hope of the world this morning. And God, I thank you because you challenged death, you conquered death, and because of that, you arose from the dead. And Father, I'm grateful this morning that we serve a risen Savior that is coming back to this earth one of these days to put this world back into its original order like it was in the Garden of Eden, Father, when you create a new heaven and a new earth and will forever live on this earth for all eternity. Father, we thank you, we praise you for the wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And all the people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
The story of Easter was the day that Jesus, so God died on the cross for our sins. Cultists flew off. They did. They put a large rock in front of the temple.
To the tomb with the rock
in front of it.
Big rock.
Like this big.
No, bigger than that.
This big.
And that tomb.
A big rock.
Yeah, a big rock. Big
rock. He was having a party.
This was dead.
He was partying.
He died.
Yeah, he was, you know, grabbed a couple of angels.
He stayed in there and died.
He just grabbed a little bit of bread, some McDonald's, and then
dead.
He also had like stuff around him.
Like,
and
toilet paper.
Yeah.
Rounded up in cloth.
Like mummy stuff.
Pardon.
Except for it doesn't cover the hair though.
3 days.
And then the final third day, he got out by an angel.
And then he waited 3 days and he rose again.
Visits him.
And then the stone was like rolled away.
And the stone was rolled away.
He was in a tomb and the stone rolled away and then he came out.
Go back home.
He go back to the disciples and tell them that God is risen.
The angels told the lady to go tell everyone that Jesus was, you know, back.
He told them to go find him.
The disciples probably thought that they were just like making it up,
making all this stuff up.
And God showed up.
Jesus
showed up.
Jesus walked in, right? Is that what happened? Yeah.
He would say, "It's me, Jesus. I have a hole in my hands."
He like went to one of his friends and like, it's like, "That's not Jesus, is it?" And it's like, "Yep."
He showed
him the palms with the hole.
The disciples were happy.
And then they believed.
He told some stories and then he went
in heaven.
Wow.
Like a bird. Except without wings.
And then he went up to heaven.
After a few days, he went to heaven.
Flew
right? To heaven with the angels.
Yeah.
And that's what Easter is about. Jesus coming alive.
Don't you love kids? They just tell it like they see it, don't they? I love it. I appreciate Brent making that for us and getting some of our kids to give their ideas of what Easter Sunday is always about. This morning, I want to speak on the impact of the resurrection, what impact the resurrection has had down the past two millennia of time. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 20, Paul is writing. He is writing to the Christians, these early Christians in a city called Corinth. There were lots of false religions that were going on in that day. Paul is writing to them because there have been questions that have arisen among the Corinthians about the resurrection and all of these kinds of things. Some of them still were not sure about that. Some of them did not, probably at that point, know whether or not they believed it or whether they didn't. But I want to start off by saying this morning, centuries ago, Job asked a question in Scripture, a very poignant question. He was a person who had experienced a lot of problems in his life, a lot of trials, a lot of crises that existed. He lost 10 of his children in a storm one day. He lost his health. He lost all of his wealth. Job asked the question a long time ago, if a man dies, shall he live again? This morning I want to ask, what if? What if there had not been a resurrection? What if there had been no resurrection at all? Let me tell you this morning, there is no other religion that can claim the resurrection but Christianity. And this morning in our text, Paul reminds us that Christ's resurrection, that it's the bedrock on which Christianity rises and falls. It's the foundational doctrine of the Christian faith. It's the essential component of the gospel of grace. And then Paul goes on to prove that Jesus is indeed risen from the dead. This morning, as we look at this, Paul, first of all, in his treatise on the resurrection here, Paul gives a very terrifying assumption. He is going to let them assume that if there were no resurrection, then what would life be like? Now, I want you to know this morning, people all over the globe are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the resurrection that separates every other major religion from Christianity. In fact, Buddha died and is dead. Muhammad died and is dead. Gandhi died and is dead. Joseph Smith died and he's dead. But Jesus Christ died, but he rose again on the third day and he is alive forevermore. And that's the reason that we're here this Easter Sunday morning. We are celebrating the resurrection and the life. Let me tell you, the tomb is empty over there in Jerusalem this morning. The garden tomb. But I want you to know the throne of heaven is occupied this morning. It's that empty tomb that makes the bloody cross so meaningful and powerful to you and to me. And thousands of people back in first century Christianity were crucified. But the only one that predicted with proof, positive accuracy, that his death would not be the end was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. No grave could conceal him. Let me tell you, he came forth out of victory. Jesus came back through the resurrection, and that certainly validates the crucifixion this morning. In fact, the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 says, he, speaking of Jesus, was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. You see, Jesus confronted death. Jesus challenged death. Jesus conquered death. On his way to Jerusalem that final week of Passover, he had performed his last miracle before he would miraculously rise from the dead. And he performed the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. It was a picture not only of his resurrection to come the following week, but it was a picture to all those in Christ Jesus that will rise one of these days. For all of those that have reached out by faith and received Jesus, I want you to consider with me this morning the impact that the resurrection has had upon human history. First of all, Paul gives us this terrifying assumption. Paul says, if there was no resurrection from the dead, then we have no foundation whatsoever on which to stand. Look in our text for this morning, verses 12 and 13. Paul said, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Paul is saying, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus didn't rise again. That would mean that everything that you and I do absolutely is meaningless in life. If the resurrection were not true, then Jesus himself would be no better than tens of thousands of others who have claimed to be sent from God. If he did not rise from the dead, then his death was unfortunate and he spent a misspent life on his teachings. And he would be nothing more than a raving, maniacal madman. You see, if there were no resurrection, the very system of belief that you and I cherish this morning would absolutely offer no hope whatsoever. If Jesus did not rise, then our system of belief is dead. Our foundation would crumble on which we profess Christianity. And so Paul says that if Christ was not risen, we have no foundation. Secondly, he says in verses 14 to 16, we would have no faith. He says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. You see, Paul paints a very dismal, bleak picture here of how things would be if Christ did not rise from the dead. He says three things are useless. He says our preaching is empty there in verse 14. He said that it would be in vain what we would do. All of the sermons that have ever been preached, all of the preachers that have ever proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who has ever spent their life in praying, those who have spent their life in witnessing, those who have spent their lives in reaching out to help other people, those who have spent their life in worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would all be empty, it would all be vanity if Christ did not rise from the dead. Let me tell you, on that first Sunday morning, that Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene, she was there on that Sunday morning. Let me tell you, later the disciples encountered the risen Christ, whom they said they saw. There were more than 500 witnesses in one post-resurrection appearance that Jesus made. Let me tell you, all those disciples, all who have ever preached the gospel, would have proclaimed a message and been foolish if Christ did not rise from the dead. Paul said there would be no foundation. We would have no faith. Our preaching would be empty. He said our faith would be vain. Verse 14. He said, in other words, we'd just be wasting our time. We would be foolish. We would look ignorant. All of the things that we've done if Christ had not risen from the dead. Then he said we would be false witnesses in verse 15. He said we would be liars out there spreading a Christian message of salvation if Jesus did not in fact rise from the dead. I want you to think with me this morning about the Apostle Paul. Paul, that the one who was persecuting Christians, the one who did not accept Christianity, steeped in his education, steeped in all of the laws of the land. Do you believe that the Apostle Paul would have ever changed his story had he not met Christ on the Damascus Road? I mean, Paul substituted what he was for a life where he was beaten, he was imprisoned, Paul was assaulted, he was stoned and left for dead, and he did it all in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, Paul at one time had been the greatest persecutor of Christians, and now he is doing totally the opposite of what he once did. Let me tell you, if Christ did not rise from the dead, Paul says, we have no foundation on which to stand. We have no faith whatsoever. Our preaching would be empty. Our faith would be in vain. Paul said we would be false witnesses. We would be preaching a message that would not be true. And then he says we would have no forgiveness of our sins in verse 17. Let me tell you this morning, the gospel truth is Jesus came. Jesus left heaven's glory. He was born of the virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died a heinous death on the cross to pay for the sins of this world. The Bible goes on to say that he rose again the third day for our justification. If Jesus is still dead, then you and I cannot be justified, and we would be lost this morning, and we would have no future whatsoever. You talk about hopeless. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all people most miserable. That would mean that all of your loved ones that have died, there would be no hope of a reunion one day in heaven. Everyone who dies would be forever lost. In other words, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, Paul is telling these Corinthians, then there would never be a reunion in heaven with their loved ones. Paul says if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then everyone who dies would be lost forever. And that you might as well just live life up, get all of the gusto out of life that you could. Because if all it is that you're born and you live and you work and you get old and you get sick and you become frail and eventually you die and you go back to the dust, that would be the world without the Easter story. That would be the world without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That would mean that heaven would be a cruel joke and there would be no resurrection from the dead. We would have lived our lives in vain. We would have believed a lie. We could not trust the Bible, because the Bible said Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He arose, and Paul paints an incredibly dismal, terrifying picture of what life would be like if Jesus did not rise from the dead. I want to ask you a question this morning. When you think about those disciples that Jesus called from various strata of life, do you think that they would be stupid enough, that they would be ignorant enough, that they would be foolish enough to believe something and die for it when they themselves had seen it? I want you to listen to what tradition said happened to those disciples that followed Jesus. Simon Peter was crucified on a cross upside down. Andrew, he was severely scourged and he was tied by ropes on an X-shaped cross where he hung for 2 days until he died. James, the brother of John, he was beheaded with the sword. John was thrown into a boiling pot of oil, although he did not die from that. He was the only disciple that stayed through the crucifixion at the cross. He was the only disciple of Jesus that did not die a martyr's death. Philip, he was crucified, or tradition said he was hung upside down by hooks through his ankles. Bartholomew was beaten. He was flayed. He was skinned alive. He was crucified and possibly beheaded. Thomas, the one we call the doubting Thomas, although that's an unfair name for him. Thomas didn't doubt the resurrection any more than the rest of those disciples did. He just got that label pinned on him through the years. Thomas, the one said, unless I see the nail prints in his hand, unless I can touch his riven side, he said, I will not believe. And Jesus, on the week after Easter on Sunday night, made another appearance to the disciples in the upper room. Jesus just appeared through the wall The doors were locked. The disciples were scared. And Jesus just poof through the walls. Jesus was there. That's the kind of body that you and I will have someday. It's a body that knows people. It's a body that could eat. It's a body with flesh and bone. It's a resurrected body. And so Thomas was lanced to death, and then they burned him in an oven. Matthew, the tax collector, they axed him to death. James the just, James, the one in the Jerusalem church, he was thrown down from the temple tower, and when he didn't die, they clubbed him to death with a fuller's club. Jude was crucified. Simon the zealot was crucified and sawed in half. Judas Iscariot, of course, he had already hanged himself by suicide. Matthias was stoned and beheaded. And then the Apostle Paul, who met Christ on the road to Damascus and considered himself one of the apostles, even Paul himself was beheaded. Do you think those disciples would have given their lives for something that was not true? They had seen the risen Christ. Let me tell you, aren't you thankful this morning on Easter Sunday morning that that wasn't the end of the story when Paul gave the bleak, dismal, terrifying assumption? Secondly, this morning, he gives a thrilling assurance in verse 20. He comes back to the Corinthians and he says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits meant back in the Old Testament, they brought the first, the very best that they had from their crops. That was the first fruits, and they waved them before Jesus, saying that there's more to come. Folks, let me tell you, there's more resurrections to come one of these days. Amen. Paul states for the record here the thrilling fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. He lives this morning, and because Jesus lives, let me tell you on that morning, let me just say to all of you here this morning, down through the years, we tell everybody that Jesus died at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Well, if you'll go back and read up on it on the Jewish calendar, Jesus died on Thursday afternoon. That's how you come up with 3 days later, Thursday to Friday, Friday to Saturday, Saturday to Sunday morning. Jesus actually died according to Jewish tradition, according to Jewish beliefs. He died on April the 6th, 30 AD. And so Jesus died and Jesus rose again. And because of that, on that Easter Sunday morning, way into the night on Saturday night, or before dawn on Sunday morning, God Himself opened up and Jesus arose victoriously. Let me tell you, the angel came, sure, rolled away the stone, but it wasn't to let Jesus out. It was to let those disciples in to see that the tomb was empty. And let me tell you, because of the thrilling, thrilling assurance this morning, our foundation as Christians is firm this morning. Our faith is genuine. Our forgiveness is accomplished. And our future is secure because there is a God in heaven. And the Bible says that He's coming again someday. My third and final point is Paul gave a triumphant affirmation. He said, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let me tell you, the resurrection is an undeniable fact of human history this morning. John Phillips said there's more concrete evidence for the resurrection of Christ than there is for the conquest of Britain by Julius Caesar. Let me tell you, when the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos, he saw one who would declare in Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Let me tell you this morning, the facts for the resurrection of Jesus are substantiated by eyewitnesses. Many of you have read Lee Strobel's books. He's written many of them. He wrote the one called The Case for Easter. He was an attorney. He did not believe in Jesus. And one day he decided he would spend time doing research on the life of Jesus and on the resurrection. And Lee Strobel, who was well known in New York City for his writings and for the things that he did, Lee Strobel said he came to the proof that there was more evidence for the Lord Jesus Christ than he could have ever begun to imagine. More than many of the historical things out there in the world today that people have no problem believing. Let me tell you, on those post-resurrection appearances, after the resurrection for the next 40 days, Jesus made at least 11, 12 appearances, post-resurrection appearances, not only to Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday morning and to the other Mary and to Salome and those women that were there. Jesus made his appearances to Peter and to John and the disciples and the two on the road to Emmaus and to Thomas and then to some 500 people at one time. And then Paul met Christ on the Damascus Road when God spoke to him out of heaven. Let me tell you, today, and for the past 2,000 years, we celebrate Easter Sunday. From Jesus being one, calling 12 apostles, to the 120 followers after that, to the 3,000 souls that were saved after the resurrection on the day of Pentecost, to where you and I are this morning. Some 2,000 years later, there are some 2.7 or 8 billion Christians in the world today. Let me tell you, Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He wasn't talking about a building. He wasn't talking about some big structure out there. Jesus was speaking about those that have a personal relationship with him. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And folks, for 2,000 years, the gates of hell have not been able to shut Christianity down. Even though there are many out there that are trying this morning, I want you to know the risen Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And though time and ages roll, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for your soul. And though some may say he doesn't fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is the answer. He's always been, and he always will be. Let me ask you the question Jesus asked Martha right before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though they die, yet they will live. And Jesus said to Martha, do you believe this? I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is alive today? Do you? Do you believe he's coming back one of these days? Are you ready to meet him when he comes? Let me tell you, if you're not, you can meet him this morning by just asking him to forgive you of your sins. Come into your heart and life and let him lead you the rest of the way. Amen. Would you?